Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today pre-market podcast. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Wednesday, the 24th of April, and as usual, with all the information contained in this podcast, it is general advice only, so please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas, or insights in this podcast. And if you're listening to this podcast for free and you're not yet a member of the Marcus Today community, we'd love to have you on board as part of the community. You can sign up for a free two-week trial at marcustoday.com.au. Well, that is the end of the advert for today. As far as the scores on the doors go, well, it was a relief rally in the US continuing. We saw the Dow Jones up 264 points, or 0.69%, 38,504. Had a high of 322 up and a low of 58 points up. So never in negative territory. NASDAQ up 1.6%, 245 points, 15,697. Now all eyes were on Tesla, which is up around 11, 12% after hours on the back of their numbers, which pretty much across the board disappointed. However, the big kicker for Tesla was that they did promise to deliver the cut price, the new model, the one that is going to be under $25,000. So that was the big kicker for them. Even the Elon Musk roadshow couldn't disrupt that rise that we saw. So Tesla very much leading that. And of course, that will help NASDAQ futures. I'll get to those when we get there. As far as the S&P goes, up 1.2%, 60 points, back above 5,000, 5,071. The Russell, that was in the middle for diddle, by the way. The Russell 2000 up 35 points, or 1.8%, back above 2000, 2003. And the VIX Volatility Index, as you would expect, with all this love and happiness coming back into the US market, down 7.4%, 15.69. SPY futures up another 27 points. Yesterday we saw a 34-point rise, resources being outpaced by the banks, which back in everyone's good books, Citi have put out that sell at a pretty good time. The banks have done nothing but go up since they put out. I know it's long term, but it's unlikely that most institutional investors will ever contemplate selling the banks because they do make up 30% of the index. So they may be a little bit underweight, but you cannot afford to not have banks in your portfolio if your benchmark is the ASX 200. All right. So 34 points yesterday, 27 points today. The UK market was better, 0.26%. We had the Stock 600 up 1.1%, Germany doing well at 1.6% as well. Last night we got some good data out from the US for a change. We did see residential home sales, new ones, accelerating in March in a faster than expected pace. Mortgage rates declined over the month. So that was good. The manufacturing and services activity hit multi-month lows in April, which indicates a potential slowdown in US economic growth. So we are getting a bit of a mixed message coming out of the US at the moment. The S&P Global Flash US Composite PMI showed a 49.9 reading for manufacturing. That was down from 51.9. But also we did see a Treasury auction go off pretty well last night. These are the Biden and the US administration IOUs, which they have to issue at pretty regular intervals to pay for that $34 trillion debt pile. So that is something to bear in mind. They had $69 billion US sale of a two-year note. That lured pretty solid demand. Didn't quite get to the 5% rate, which some were going for, but two-year notes were 4.898. They've got two more US government rights issues. And we talk about rights issues and capital raisings in the equity market. These guys really know how to tap investors for it. That's $70 billion US on Wednesday and $44 billion worth on Friday. So that is how the US government funds itself. Well, it funds the interest payments, I guess, to some extent as well. All right, looking at, of course, the US stocks last night. Well, it was all about Tesla. It was all about tech stocks. Big rebound there. Nvidia up 3.7%. All is forgiven, it seems. AMD up 2.4%. Netflix up 4.2%. Meta, the artist formerly known as Facebook, up 3%. Tesla up 1.9% in normal hours, but another 11% on top of that after hours when the results dropped. Amazonians up 1.3%, and we saw Microsoft up 1.6%, Apple up 0.6%. So that's some good news for Apple, despite some of the drops in sales in China. As far as the Tesla results go, they reported a 9% drop in revenue in the first quarter. That's the steepest year-on-year decline since 2012. So not a great number. Earnings per share came in at 45 cents, adjusted. Market was going for 51 cents. Revenue, 21.3 billion versus 22.15 billion. So there was nothing particularly good about the numbers at all, except for the fact that Elon Musk is promising that the new cheap car will be coming in soon. In fact, it will at least be coming in. So that is certainly a positive for them. In terms of the US banking sector, Bank of America up 1.7, Wells Fargo down 0.3, Goldman's up 1.6, Morgan Stanley up 1.8, all good for Macquarie and our banking sector. Barclays up 1.6% overseas. We had UBS up 1.5% and Deutsche up 1.5%, and CBA overseas up 2%. Square, it's hip to be. SQM up 5% overseas, and ResMed doing well, up 2%. So it looks like we could be in for a pretty good day, especially on the back of that Tesla result. That's certainly going to help Dow and NASDAQ futures, so we might beat the 27 points. However, before we all get too carried away, commodity stocks, which have rescued us while the banks have been under pressure, now they are under pressure and the banks back in fashion. So we've had a switch out of banks into resources. Now we're getting a switch out of resources into the banks again. Brent crude up 1.5%. That's the good news. Up $1.30, $88.50. WTI up 0.4%, 35 cents to $84.20. The gold price came off of another $4.50, which is a little bit disappointing. I suspect some were going for a bit of a rally there. So gold stock still will be a little pressured, I suspect. Platinum was down 1%. In LME futures pricing, or Moscow Metals Exchange, as it should probably be called these days, the LME copper was down 1%, nickel down 2.7%, aluminium down 3.5%, zinc down 1.3%, lead down 0.8%, and tin 6.3% easier. All those big gains that we've seen in tin have been wiped out. So Metals X, sorry guys, that's going to have a bit of a ipso collapso today. Iron ore also eased in China, down 3.3%. Dalian iron ore futures down 1.3%. Uranium slightly higher, back up to $90 US a pound. Lithium also slightly higher, and the lithium stocks will take some heart from that Tesla result. Also, the IEA was out yesterday with some predictions for the electric vehicle market. You can read more of that in Henry's Take today. All right, looking at resource stocks overseas, BHP up 0.3%, Rio down 0.8%, Glencore down 1.3%, Freeport down 2%, Vale down 0.9%. But in the lithium space, Arcadium up 2.6%, Albemarle up 1.7%, Barrick in the gold space up 1.3%, and Newmont up 0.7%. So a little bit of buying creeping in there. Albemarle up 1.7%, SQM up 1.8%, and the US and UK oil companies not doing a lot. Chevron and Exxon up around 0.5%, Shell down a similar amount there. US 10-year yields eased back slightly after that solid Treasury auction. We saw US 10s at 4.607, the 2s 4.937, so that was down 3.6 basis points. The Aussie 10-year 4.3% there. All right, let's turn our attention to our market today, and plenty of stuff going on today, that's for sure. Some of the big highlights, we have got, of course, the CPI, the first quarter CPI today, monthly CPI indicator, so that's going to be pretty interesting for our market. That comes out at 11:30. The AFR, which reported yesterday that Seven Group is considering a bid for Cleanaway, is now, well, Bloomberg's reported that. Now the AFR has quoted Cleanaway saying that they are not in talks with the Seven Group, which were not looking at a bid for Cleanaway. Cleanaway was up 15% late on that Bloomberg report. Nick Scali out front and centre this morning. They're buying a UK business called Fab Furniture, F-A-B-B, for $46 million. That'll be funded by a placement. And Star Entertainment has conceded it is unfit to operate the Sydney casino. In other news this morning, we've got a slew of production reports coming out. They all have to creep in before the end of the month. Perpetual has reported a Q3 assets under management of $227.4 billion. A quarter ago, it was $213.9 billion. Net flows, it looks like net flows were actually down, but certainly looks like the market has helped them. Total expense growth, 32 to 34%. Prior guidance, upper end of the range of 27 to 31%. The devaluation of the Australian dollar relative to the US dollar and British pound since December has had a material impact on the expense guidance. Alkane Resources reported Q3 gold production, 10,861 ounces. A quarter ago, it was 13,182 ounces. FY24 guidance is unchanged there. Argosy out this morning. AGY has received approval from the government of Sultan Province for expansion operations at the Rincon Lithium project. So that's good news for them. We've also got some of the bigger ones today. West African Resources has reported Q1 gold production, all in sustaining costs of $1,291 an ounce, maintains production guidance. Tito, we've got there, that is a takeover battle going on at the moment. Zhaojin has increased its stake to 16.2% from previous 9.7%. We've had PointsBet out with their turnover, which is better than a year ago at 676.4 for the Q3. Reaffirms guidance. We've got lots of reaffirmations of guidance at the moment going on. Not much upgrades to guidance, but lots of reaffirmations of guidance. Silver Lake Resources reports Sugar Zone's drilling results, including 1.78 metres at 32.9 grams a tonne. Fortescue has reported Q3 iron ore shipments, 43.3 million tonnes. The market was looking for around 44.5. Guidance unchanged. So that is interesting there. C1 cost for Pilbara hematite, $18 to $19 a tonne. Mineral Resources has reported their Q3 iron ore shipments, 4.5 million wet metric tonnes. That was pretty much in line with the market and volume and cost guidance. Guess what? Reaffirmed. Atlas Arterial has reported weighted toll revenue average of Q1 up 2.9%. We've got CIA out this morning as well. Champion Iron, not Champion the Wonder Horse, has reported Q4 production 3.3 wet metric tonnes. That's million. The market was going for around 3.6. C1 cash cost, $77 Canadian. You can see the difference between BHP, Rio, Fortescue and Champion Iron writ large there. Also got Lynas out this morning with their Q3 total rare earth production, 3.55 thousand tonnes. And the market was looking for 3.64 thousand tonnes. So NDPR, neodymium, production 1.72 thousand tonnes, which is above market. Sales revenue 101.2. Street was looking for 146.7. Perseus, gold production out as well. It's all happening slightly above market expectations at 127.5 thousand ounces. I'm sure they reaffirmed guidance there as well. ABC, Adbri, has been awarded a $50 million Powering the Regions funding grant. Expect to see more of those as we head into the budget. Red 5 has confirmed Q3 gold production, 50,132 ounces. A year ago, it was 53,018. So the company is positioned to deliver at the top end of FY guidance, production of 195 to 215, all in sustaining costs, 1850 to 2100. Paladin's out as well. We have got Next Science out too. Northern Star in Broker Talk downgraded to underperform from outperform at CLSA. Target increase though to $14.80 from $13.95. 29 Metals downgraded to sell from underperform at CLSA. Target increase there to 35 cents from 28 cents. Fisher & Paykel upgraded to neutral from underperform at Forsyth Barr. Target increase there to $25.90 New Zealand dollars from $23.45. And that, my friends, is about it for the day. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day, as always. If you're listening to this free podcast, we'd love to have you on board as part of the Markets Today community. If you want to sign up, 2-week free trial, markets today.com.au, and you can give our newsletter a go. In the meantime, may the trading gods be with you.